Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit, Michigan, earned a BA in sports management while playing football for Hampton University, and an MA in sports management from Baylor University. Since 2004, he's been the president of Sound Mind, Sound Body Foundation, which is a 501c3 non-for-profit organization which uses sports as a vehicle to connect with students to learn that equal amounts of energy must be applied to both books and ball. His name, Curtis Blackwell. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're with Curtis Blackwell, the founder and president of Sound Mind, Sound Body Foundation. Curtis, welcome. An honor to have you.
Jack, thanks for having me, and it's such an honor to be here on your show.
Can you start with an opening prayer, please?
Yes. God, we thank you for being here. We thank you for another opportunity to do your work and to ensure that we make the most of this opportunity that we've been given. God, we know everything is possible through you, and all that believe in you can achieve anything they put their minds to. These blessings and many more we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's go back. You as a kid, east side of Detroit, raised by your mom. Tell us about your mom and growing up in Detroit.
Man, growing up on the east side of Detroit, the one thing that I remember the most is that my mom always figured out how to get things done. And growing up in a single-parent household, I remember my mom, you know, just going above and beyond to get me involved in as many things as possible. And I remember her telling me when I was young that anything that I wanted to do and that I thought I could achieve, I can do it. And even though we didn't have everything, and I didn't realize that until I got older, it instilled a sense of optimism and belief that, you know, I could just try everything. And she encouraged me to try everything. She's like, hey, try everything that you want. Because growing up, my mom grew up in our family is like, my uncle is a pastor. My stepfather is a pastor. You know, all of our family members are in the church. And so we spent a lot of time in the church, 3 days, 4 days a week growing up. And so my mom didn't get a chance to participate in a lot of activities because of being in the church. And so my mom wanted me to ensure that, hey, we're in the church, but also I want to encourage you to try to do other things. And so even though we didn't have it all, she always found a way to get me involved in everything. And I think that created a sense of optimism that, you know, try anything and go for it. And I think that's something that all young people need, is that person that, to encourage them to try things so that they can be what they want to be in life.
Speaking of which, Curtis, that young people need father figures, etc., God sent you another angel by the name of James Reynolds.
Yes. Coach Reynolds, my high school football coach at Detroit Martin Luther King. King High School was the top high school in the state of Michigan, arguably at the time, had the most Division I athletes. And Coach Reynolds provided an opportunity for me to go and play at King, even though my neighborhood school was Denby. And I was headed to Detroit Denby High School, which was in the neighborhood, and it was a little rough. But King was a magnet school. You had to test in, and Coach Reynolds provided an opportunity for me to go there. But when I went to King High School, Coach Reynolds, once again, another individual who encouraged me, he said, Curtis, you have the ability to do more than just be a college athlete. You can apply for Ivy League schools. You can look at historically black colleges. And I didn't even know what a HBCU was, historically black college. I didn't know what Ivy Leagues really were. And so he had me going after Dartmouth, Brown. And then I committed verbally to Central Michigan. Coach Reynolds said, Curtis, take a visit to a historically black college and check it out. I went on a visit to Hampton University. The only thing I knew about Hampton University was Rick Mahorn. And at that time, I went to Hampton University and fell in love with the atmosphere and the environment. and decommitted from Central Michigan and went to Hampton University, which was a big deal. But it was all because of Coach Reynolds believing in me. And he always taught me one thing. He said, Curtis, you know, people make life so complicated, but it's one golden rule that you always should live by, and that's do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And he taught me that, and I always live by that rule, is to try to treat people the way you want to be treated.
Talk to us, Curtis, about the good that all these high school and college coaches do for our young people.
Man, you know, there is no, you know, what I tell people all the time, in order to be a good high school coach in the inner city, you got to be good at everything but coaching football. You got to be an ATM machine. You got to be a doctor. You got to be an Uber driver. You got to be able to fix meals or prepare meals. You got to be able to go into school and be an advisor. You got to be a tutor. And then if you do well at all of those things, you get a chance to have a team that can go out on Friday nights and compete. Those kids can also navigate the barriers that are before them to make it to the next level. And so most good high school coaches or college coaches that are working with students in inner cities, they are good at all the other things. They can't just come in and just open up the playbook and start calling X's and O's. They have to do all those other things. And so I think a lot of times when we look at coaches in the city that do a lot of different things with young people, sometimes you can't see those things because that's not listed within the job description. But when you see these teams that go out and win state championships and recruit kids effectively, you have to be able to work around all of those barriers, the little speed bumps, to help provide a way for young people to just make it to the field, to make it to the field on Friday, or stay on the field and stay through practice and stay in the classroom.
All right. As you mentioned, Hampton University, you received a BA in sports management. Talk about that chapter of your life.
Man, Hampton was the first time I realized I grew up poor. I didn't realize that until I got to college. Because my mom never complained about anything we didn't have, but I was never used to being in an environment where you could be, it was so many well-off, affluent black people that I had never met or came in contact with on the east side of Detroit. We grew up in one of the rougher neighborhoods in the whole city of Detroit on the 48205 zip code. And so going to Hampton, I was blown away by, you know, the magnitude of the campus, you know, off the Atlantic Ocean, Virginia Beach, Chesapeake area. But also within that, the duality of the people, of my peers. I saw young black people who, you know, were straight A students, but also had social lives and they were able to party and hang out. I thought you were either a nerd, or a jock or somebody who was out in the streets. I didn't realize you can, you know, it was down to earth to be, you know, to be a sociable, like you could be a party promoter and a 4.0 student. You might, you know, hang out, but I never saw that growing up in Detroit. I only saw one extreme or the other. And so that gave me confidence. And then I saw a lot of, Jesse Jackson, Jay-Z, a lot of influential black people came through our campus, and that really inspired me to see that I could be whatever I wanted to be, being in that environment. And it was really an uplifting experience.
And now, a few years later, you go into these high school campuses and college campuses, and you're the Jay-Z. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you.
We're with Curtis Blackwell, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Curtis Blackwell. And you earned an MA in sports management from Baylor University in Waco, Texas. Tell us about Baylor and Waco, Texas.
Well, I had no idea how I would ever even go to that school. Once again, it was a coach that was in my life. Coach Reynolds in high school, Coach Joe Taylor, Hall of Fame coach, was a board member for the American Football Coaches Association, the AFCA. He, as a board member, was informed of the, it was a minority male athletic administrator position where you can apply for an internship. And it would pay for your graduate courses at Baylor University, and then you would get a chance to work underneath Grant Taft, Hall of Fame coach from Baylor University. And so I was like, why would I want to go do that? And my coach encouraged me once again, like Coach Reynolds encouraged me to go to Hampton. He said, Curtis, apply. And I said, all right. Well, he said, what are you doing after college graduation? I said, well, I'm going to find a job. He said, no, go get some experience. One of my college coaches knew someone that worked at the NFL. And I knew that because I had a sports management degree that I could try to apply for a job because I knew someone at the NFL. He said, Curtis, you're not getting a job at the NFL without a master's degree. And so when Coach Taylor encouraged me to apply for Baylor, I applied. I got the internship. And now I'm thinking, like, Waco, Texas. Like, what am I doing here? The only thing I knew of Waco was Vinnie Johnson and the Detroit Pistons. And I got there, and I was looking around, and I saw the David Koresh compound. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, like, how do you go from all-black Detroit, HBCU, Hampton University, and now I'm in Waco where it's nothing black around me. It was a different environment. And that was the changing point in my entire life because I got exposed to the whole industry of sports on a national level. I worked with Don Shula, Tyrone Willingham, Bob Stoops, all of these individuals with the AFCA Coaches Convention. And then I worked with the Baylor football team. Kevin Steele was the head coach of Baylor at the time. And so me being from the city of Detroit and getting an opportunity to meet all these individuals, and I was working with the college football rankings. I was at all the national conventions. I'm meeting Jim Tressel. Everybody who was a mover and shaker in college sport, I got exposed to. Plus, I started conducting research for the institution about what it takes to be an athletic administrator. And that exposure was the turning point in my entire life.
Then you go to work for the NCAA from 2001 to 2003. Talk about that chapter.
I did not want to go to work for the NCAA. I had a master's degree, and I tried again to go work for the NFL. Once again, they said, you just have a master's degree. You have no experience. And so the same individual that I asked for a job, he said, Curtis, you should go get an internship with this NCAA program. I said, what person with a master's degree goes and gets an internship? You go get a job. He said, Curtis, trust me. So once again, I followed someone else's advice and I applied. This position was for individuals who wanted to work in athletic administration. They tell me that I'm a finalist and I come down to an interview, but unfortunately my transcript would not get released from Hampton University. So they tell me that I would not be able to apply without an internship, without a transcript. So I tell them that because I was about to get, you know, thrown out of the competition to get selected for the position. I say, all right, I'm going to drive to Hampton University to get my transcript. So I drove 10 hours from Detroit to Hampton, got my transcripts, and they told me that that's when I got the internship, when I drove. They said that commitment and that willingness to do whatever is what they said would make me a good fit for the position. When I got to the NCAA, once again, what an exposure I saw. I mean, it was unbelievable. I was working at every major event. I was at all the NCAA tournament games, and I was watching in New Orleans, the Final Four. It had a kid from Marquette, Dwayne Wade, another kid from Syracuse, Carmelo Anthony. I stood on the basketball court and I said, if this is work, standing here watching this Final Four, this is the type of work I want to do because I do not feel like I'm at work. I would pay to be here, but I'm getting paid to be here. And that's when I knew that sports would be the pathway for me.
And then the Pistons drafted that Darko Milicic over Carmelo Anthony and Dwayne Wade. Wow. All right. You're a good salesman. There was a young lady, Keandra, mm-hmm. at Hampton. You liked her. She didn't like you because you were a football player and a frat brother. You outkicked your punt coverage when you convinced her to marry you. Mm-hmm. Talk about Keandra.
Well, me and Keandra met in college, and Keandra was a basketball athlete, one of the top athletes in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Her brother was drafted to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hank Poteet won a Super Bowl with Bill Belichick, and we really connected as athletes. And, you know, we dated in college, and we had a long-distance relationship while I was in Texas. I gave her an ultimatum upon graduating from graduate school that she needed to relocate to Detroit with me, And she decided to pursue her graduate degree to become a physical therapist, which was the best thing she could have done, because coming to Detroit with me probably would have been a nightmare. And I needed probably some more time to mature also. But we really connected because we were both athletes, and we all, you know, we had a vision for wanting to help young people. And that's what she is into, because she's into physical therapy, helping people, and I'm into helping young people. And the sports and the helping and giving back is where we connected, and we've always been friends on that level.
All right, so you recruited her. And then Michigan State says, that's pretty good recruiting. So from 2013 to 2017, you were the MSU football recruiting coordinator. Please.
So in Detroit, I started the football camp, the Sound Mind, Sound Body, when I came back to the city after leaving the NCAA. And now, as I'm running these camps, I found out that I could bring college coaches through my experience working with the American Football Coaches Association and the NCAA, that it was permissible under NCAA legislation to have college coaches come into the inner city and bring them to the city, because it's challenging to get 300 kids from the city of Detroit to 30 different colleges, the cost of time. But if you bring all the coaches to the city, then you can create a one-stop shop where all the kids can get viewed and exposure. Sound Mind, Sound Body was a platform where we use academics and life skills to teach them about everything but the football side, to how to be a good person, to have good character. Because as I talked about earlier, the reason why a lot of kids didn't get recruited wasn't because of athleticism. It was because of character, grades, exposure, not understanding the process. So with me being able to bring these things together through my experiences, we created a camp that allowed the coaches to express those things from a insider knowledge perspective. And so what happened was, Mark D'Antonio was one of the first coaches that came to our camp, and he spoke about character and life skills development. He also got a chance to see how we recruited all the top athletes and brought them to this event. And he said, Curtis, man, if you can put this whole event together and you understand the NCAA rules, would you mind doing this at Michigan State? Well, at the same time, Brady Hoke was offering me a job at the University of Michigan. And so now I'm picking between Michigan and Michigan State. And so my mentor, John Wangler, played quarterback at the University of Michigan. He was a board member. He worked for Adidas. He was one of our national sponsors for our program. He said, Curtis, you should go meet with D'Antonio. Just go check it out. Go see what he's talking about. So I went up to Michigan State, and I was blown away. Like, it was just, I was like, this is a whole nother level. And I, at that moment, I knew, like, this is for me. I wanted to work on a college level. But up until that time, I never thought I could envision doing it. But the environment, Coach D'Antonio, just seeing the other side of what was going on, I could tell that Michigan State was on to something really big. And then at that point, I knew I was in the right place.
When we come back, we're going to ask Curtis about Sound Mind, Sound Body. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Curtis Blackwell. Curtis, 2004, you start Sound Mind, Sound Body. Why and what does it do?
The main thing that we do is really provide a platform for young people to go to the next level, and that's going to college. I felt that, you know, I would not have made it to college if it wasn't for someone else in my life. And I wanted to do something that can allow young people to be just like me. And that is going to college, going to graduate school, getting the same experiences that I had. And Sound Mind, Sound Body became my way of saying, you know, the goal in the city of Detroit is to make it out the city. No one ever says, you know, I wanted to go back to the city. And I wanted to keep young people in the city going to college. And so Sound Mind, Sound Body became the largest platform for student athletes to get recruited and earn college scholarships at one event in America. And it really transformed the college recruiting landscape, because it created a whole wave of satellite camps across America that were replicated by Jim Harbaugh and others, that now is authorized through NCAA legislation to be just like Sound Mind, Sound Body. But what I'm most proud of is that our team, all of us that founded this organization, because it's not just me, we all graduated from the city of Detroit, and we've worked with over 50,000 students. We've ran Sound Mind, Sound Body programs, not only in Detroit, but all across America, in Switzerland, the Dominican Republic, Colombia. And currently we have 19 NFL players from our program. Every year, 30 to 50 students go to college. And every year at our camp, I would say well over 300 college coaches attend and 30 head coaches. So it's really a transformational program that keeps the city of Detroit elevated as a recruiting hotbed. Think about it. The NFL draft was held in the city of Detroit last year. What city had the most NFL draft picks? I mean, most NFL draft players on rosters last year? The city of Detroit. How many of those kids out of the 19 were from the Sound Mind, Sound Body? 17 of those students. 17 of the 19 were from our program.
Sound Mind, Sound Body, www.smsbacademy.com. Curtis Blackwell. 20 years later, Curtis, as you mentioned, 50,000 students helped, 30,000 athletes trained, 40,000 program graduates. Not just boys, girls as well.
Sound Mind, Sound Body uses athletics as a vehicle. So in order to be a part of Sound Mind, Sound Body, you got to first. Most times, individuals talk about what kids don't like or don't want to do. And what we did was we created a curriculum, Sound Mind, Sound Body, where it's in order to engage in any any athletic programming, you have to first attend academic enriching programming first. So 1 o'clock, the camp starts. You head to the auditorium, you listen to the life skills sessions. Then at 3 o'clock, you get your camp shirt, and then you go out on the field and you compete. We know that by stacking the programming along with the camp together, the kids are guaranteed to be engaged and attend much needed content and enrichment programming that they typically would not want to do. That recipe, we transition into other sports to do volleyball, cheerleading, where the girls get etiquette or life skills training before cheer practice, before volleyball practice. We took what was a one-day camp model and made it into an everyday after-school model, a summer's camp model. And so what became a one-day football camp is now a program that serves 7,000 students every year here in the city of Detroit, not just as a football camp like we started off, but as a year-round programming that's taking place inside of schools.
www.smsbacademy.com. All right, there was an abandoned Catholic church called St. Bernard's. What's happened?
The state of Michigan had a community enhancement program where if you can find any buildings that were really good that could be renovated or enhanced for community use, that you can write a grant. Well, this grant that they rolled out became a very competitive process. They had over $1 billion in requests all across the state of Michigan. We were one of 30 grants that were selected. And we received a $750,000 award from the governor, where we received the grant to purchase the property and make it into a community center so that Sound Mind, Sound Body would have a headquarters. 2 acres of land, 50,000 square feet, 5 properties on the land. And on top of that, we own it free and clear, and it's our headquarters. And now we're in the renovation process. We are looking at a $10 million renovation project, and we've received almost $1 million so far. And it will be the first headquarters of its kind in the city of Detroit that will house a headquarters for cheerleading, dance, marching band, football training. We'll have a culinary arts, a kitchen. It will have a medical facility. And it will be basically a mecca, a gathering place for all students to come in and be nurtured and cultivated under one roof.
11433 Beaconsfield in Detroit.
1 mile from my old neighborhood where I grew up at.
That 48025, which for a while was the murder capital of the world, that zip code. With God, anything is possible. Speaking of which, MAX-X 7x7 stands for maximum exposure. What is it?
Well, what we do is we realize, just like I told you, my life was the exposure that I received. Because I went to Hampton, because I went to Baylor, because I went to the NCAA, I was exposed to some things, and I understood the NCAA rules. I understood how we can bring resources back to the community. And so within that, I knew that it was important that our young people see the country, see the world. And so we created a travel football program where our young people could go on college visits, they could train and compete against the elite talent across America. And so we got individuals like Jordan Lewis, Desmond King, Devin Funchess, other individuals that all played in the NFL, went to the University of Michigan and other institutions to travel and take college visits, to take their first ever flight, to compete against the top talent in America down south in Florida. And what that did was that gave our kids in the city of Detroit national recognition, which was much needed for them to be recruited on that level, but also to understand how well they stack up. And so exposure is not just the football exposure, but it's exposure to an airplane, exposure to a plane, to a hotel, exposure to how to compete with the best of the best. Because we understand that the more you're exposed to, the more you're prepared for what is going to come your way. And so maximum exposure became an extension of the Sound Mind, Sound Body program that allowed the top elite athletes within our program to get that real cultivation to go on to be the next level, to be the next great athlete out of the city of Detroit.
We're talking to Curtis Blackwell, an amazing person. When we come back, we're going to ask him what these young Detroit students and athletes has taught him. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Rasula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love, stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that his unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life, and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
"My father loved to play with the pros at the club, developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him, and then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan."
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
"Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up."
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Curtis Blackwell. Curtis, 50,000 kids these last 20 years. What's the biggest thing you've learned from them?
Listen, don't talk so much. They'll tell you exactly what it is they want and what they need. And from there, you should meet them where they're at. So many times we try to tell kids what they should be doing and what they ought to be doing. And they, a lot of times, just want someone to talk to. They want a safe space. And I realize that we can better serve them when we understand where it is they're at. And so we really focus in on meeting young people where we're at and building relationships. One of the things that Coach D'Antonio really talked about was a lifelong relationship. And I try to really you know, really tell the kids that, you know, they can make a relationship with me forever. And a lot of the kids don't have anyone that they can talk to. And so I taught, the kids have taught me that, you know, they just need a friend, a person. Like, we're so busy trying to tell them what they should be doing and what they need to do. What we need to do is just be a friend to young people, because that's what's missing. And if every older individual could be that individual for young people, man, we can get them to do anything, because a lot of times we're so busy, you know, going over our illustrious concepts that we forget the main thing. And, you know, and that's just, kids don't care what you know until they know that you care.
There's a special lady in town. Her name is Pamela Good. She's transformed my life, and she's surely helping your life. Tell us about Pamela Good.
Pam runs the Beyond Basics tutoring program. And it's the perfect illustration of the impact of Sound Mind, Sound Body, and how collaboration in the city of Detroit can elevate young people's lives. Because Pam and I connected during right before COVID. We were going to run a summer program in the city of Detroit. Unfortunately, the pandemic broke out. And we're like, man, how are we going to run a summer program with no place to go, because the kids are not going to be in school because of the pandemic? We came up with the idea, let's try to do it virtually. And so we pioneered something that Pam still uses today, which is online virtual tutoring. We gave the kids used their phones, or we gave them laptop devices, and the kids went to tutoring almost 4 to 5 days a week virtually. And every kid in the program went up 2 grade levels during this time frame. And so it was all because of the impact of our mentoring within Sound Mind, Sound Body, but the impact of her tutors. And so her literacy intervention program is working wonders. I probably would say it's the biggest program in America, but definitely within the Metro Detroit area, where any student can be assessed academically, but they do a great job of not tutoring, but building relationships with young people. And that's what helps us get our kids ready for college, because every kid that we meet needs athletic help, but they also need academic help, and they provide that in a special way.
71% of the 8th graders in America, they're our future, are reading at below grade level proficiency. BeyondBasics.org, for the last 25 years, have employed tutors, and you mentioned an hour a day one-on-one tutoring using phonics. Pam's in 51 schools now throughout the state of Michigan, close to 300 people, transforming lives. These kids are blind to words. They could be the greatest athlete in the world, Curtis, but if they can't read, they can't stay in school.
And if you can't read, you can't get a college scholarship. Your scholarship, you got to pass the SAT. And reading gives you the confidence that you need to go out there and talk to a coach. Reading gives you all the things that you need to be a student, not just an athlete. And I look at Pam as a saint, as an angel who's really blessed us. And it's great to see that what we can do in our city when we all work together, you know, because Pam is doing her thing. I'm doing my thing. And so we don't necessarily need each other. But boy, when we come together, it's such a special thing. And so we ran a summer programming in River Rouge and Harper Woods this summer. And we did the same thing that we did back in the pandemic. And Pam's program did wonders again. We had over 400 kids in the program that they tutored. She sent 7 tutors to every site, 12 different sites throughout the city of Detroit. River Rouge and Harper Woods. And at the end of the program, the kids went up 2 grade levels. I never had that type of impact on a one-on-one basis with our kids. It's phenomenal.
Our Mitch album got Ernie Johnson and Kenny the Jet Smith and Shaq and Charles Barkley, who Pam adores, to do a 1-minute video about Beyond Basics. And Charles Barkley said that Pam is a modern-day Mother Teresa. All right, speaking of Mother Teresa, what role has faith played in your life, Curtis?
Man, I don't think that the church is what got me to where I am, because, you know, I didn't realize that I learned how to pray at an early age. I learned how to go to church and really testify and meditate on a thought and on a word. And that became something that I transferred to everything in my life. And it also taught me to really see that the work that I'm doing is needed, because to whom much is given, much is expected. And you would think that, you know, football and running sports programs is not a ministry, it's not the church. But anytime you're doing something that changes lives, it is a ministry. You know, and so if it wasn't for my church upbringing and the faith that I had, I would not understand the need to give back to others. And that's from what all the blessings that we have, because everything that I have that I've been blessed with is not mine. God is using me as a vessel to give to others. And so every experience, every resource, I need to share it with others. And that's because of my faith in God and understanding what that has meant to me in my life.
Curtis Blackwell, www.smsbacademy.com. America's greatest natural resource are our kids. Yogi Berra used to say the future ain't what it used to be. Well, the future is our kids. What's the biggest thing they really want and need today?
Our kids need, in the city of Detroit, I'm going to speak for that because I'm an advocate and that's my territory. I look at myself as a person. They need, like, our kids first and foremost in the city of Detroit, they need what we had. They need a good school with teachers, with a safe space to play. They need a community center. They need good meals and nutrition, because those are the things that I had. And our kids, we talk about how bad this generation of young people are, but look at what they have to deal with that we did not have to deal with. They did not, like, there are community centers around the city of Detroit that are no longer open. They had to deal with social media shaming and bullying that we didn't have to deal with. They're trying to compare themselves to things that don't exist. So our kids really need more support and resources to be sustainable and survive, you know, in this culture.
As our time winds down this evening, can you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
I just thank God for this opportunity and this platform to share the story through Jack. He's been such a tremendous blessing to not only me and Pam, but the entire community. I pray, God, that you continue to use this show and this platform as a way to share good stories that can encourage others that they can do anything and anything is possible. Thank you. Amen.
Curtis, you never got to go to the Ivy League. But now you walk with the Ivy Leaguers and you dress like an Ivy Leaguer. So keep up the great, great work.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate you.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And please remember, with God, anything is possible. Spot.
Believe in yourself.